Parshas Matariz, when it's talking about Bnei Godu, Bnei Ruvain, so they came to Moshe Rabbeinu with a Tana. He said, "Make sure we love Yemru Gidris Tzay Nivne L'Mikneinu Koi Varin Tzapeinu." We want the land of Ivar Yarden because there's plenty of mira for the terrain that we have, and we don't want to go to Eretz Yisrael. So Moshe Rabbeinu gives them a whole speech that we cannot repeat the mistake that we did 40 years ago. And they said, "No, 100%. We're gonna go over. We're gonna help you." However, Gidrus Tzayin Nivne L'Mekneinu Poi V'Rimut Apeinu V'Nachnu Neicholit Zchushim L'Pnei Bnei Yisrael Asher M'Hivinu El Mokrim Mom V'Yoshav Tapeinu Bari Mivtzer V'Pnei Yishvei Haaretz. So don't worry about it. We're gonna build houses for corrals for our animals, houses for our kids, and then we'll go over to Eretz Yisrael proper, help with the Kivush V'Chiluk, and then we'll go back. So Rashi says, "Nivne l'mekneinu poi, chosim hoyu al lomainim yais mi b'neim avneisim, shiktimu mekneim letapon." Their priorities seem to be a little bit off, because they were makdim, chosim hoyu al lomainim yais b'neim avneisim. They were more worried about their money than they were about their children. They were makdim them. They said, "Gidris tzayin nivne l'mekneinu poi, varim letapenu." Which came first? Their money. Amar lehem Moshe leikin. Loikin asu. Loikin asu. Loikin. Asu ha'ikr, ikr ha'tafel tafel. Bnu lechem t'chila arm le'tapchem, achgach gidrus etzeinchem. Keep your priorities straight. It has to be that you build first for your children, and afterwards you build for your animals. The Shah is, what's going on over here? The Taka felt that their children were second class to the animals. It was Taka more important, the money is Taka more important than the children. So the truth is that we do the same thing to a certain extent. How many people put their money before their family? How many people put their love after money? The priority is something which doesn't belong before the family. Does it mean that that's what they really feel? So the story of Noach Weinberg tells in What the Angel Taught You. He's talking about five different levels of pleasure. So he says, it's really maybe a mashal, but he says about this fellow who got married, he decided by the time that he's 30, he's going to be a multimillionaire. So he started putting in, 14 hours a day at work, 16 hours a day, 18 hours a day. He was mamish to say he's going to spend his whole life in the office. Kitzer, he's just about 30 years old, and he's not there yet. Somebody knocks on his door and tells him, "Listen here, I'm an older fellow. I'm in my already 50s, 60s, and I made it big. I'm a multi-billionaire, and I have everything that I could possibly want. Except for one thing. I don't have children live yet. I want to buy one of your children. I know that you're trying to become a multimillionaire. So listen here. Instead of 16 hours a day in the office, I'll pay you $25 million. And I'll take one of your kids." He says, "What are you thinking? Thinking I'm going to sell one of my children for $25 million? What are you thinking? Where are you?" Slams the door in the guy's face, and that's it. Afterwards, he's thinking to himself, "Hold on one second. That's exactly what I'm doing. I'm selling my kids for become a multimillionaire. I don't see them. I don't see them during the day. I don't see them during the night. I don't know anything. Why did you throw them out?" Gets to the side, tells the secretary, "That's it. I'm taking off for a week, going to spend some time with my kids," and takes off. 2 days later, he's already back in the office. But the nekud is the emissa point. What's going on over here? He thought for a second that his money's worth more than his children, than his family. For sure not. A person comes to you $25 million, it would have come to Bnei Gov, Bnei Ruvin, and would have said to you, "Listen here, we're willing to pay you for your children." Throw them out on your face. What does it mean that they? So for sure, like anything that a person knows, like Mesil Sharm writes at the beginning of the Sefer, "I'm just writing the Sefer to remind you of that which you already know." There's a lot of things that we know, a lot of things that we know to be true, and a lot of things that there's no suffix by us, really. But in the day-to-day living, somehow it gets pushed to the back of our mind, and other things take priorities, and we have to be very careful that our priorities are straight, and certainly not only with ourselves for our children, that the children get themselves, that they should have be able to understand what's the richtiger priority. And the people around us, the people that we're mashpia on, everybody should have the know what the richtiger priority is. The famous story of one of the big Ashirim in the past generation, that few generations back, that his daughters became all married, four daughters married to Gedolei Hadar. And they asked him how he was zeichet to it. So Rav Elchanan said that the pshat was, how was he zeichet to it? This is by the, when he came collecting for Baranovich. So in those days, the streets outside were very muddy. And especially in the winter, the whole city turned into one mud bath. Gitzer, he came to this Gevir's house, and his boots were full of mud. And instead of going through the back door, and then going through the front door, he says, you know what, I'll go through the back door. I don't want to tread on their fancy carpets and their fancy everything. And Gitzer knocks on the back door, and they open up for him. He sees a Rochanan, what are you doing over here? He says, I don't want to get your stuff dirty. He says, no, come through the front door. Come through the front door. And he comes to the front door, and he's standing by the door. He doesn't walk inside. He doesn't want to get everything filthy. He knows it's Persian carpets. Who knows what it is? He says, no. Walk through the front door and come. I want to show. He says, don't try to ruin my children, he says. Don't try to ruin my children. I want to show my girls that the most chashuv thing is Torah and not carpets. Torah is more chashuv than the carpets. And, on the other hand, they have a story that I once heard from a well-known mechanech here, Netzer B'chir Yaakovzin. Said a story that came to him that he, a certain Rebbe, it was right before Shavuot, and he was giving a whole pitch for the Chashivas HaTorah and how Chashiv HaTorah is, and he's building it up, and the stories of Gedolim and the Torah, and his mamish, it's at the climax after 15 minutes of building it up, and he calls out to the little kids and he goes, so what's the most Chashiv thing in the world? And the kid calls out from the back, Chalant! So he thought he's making a joke. But he saw that the kid's dead serious. You know what to make of it. He ruined the whole show. But what's going on here? The kid calls him out after class. This is what the deal. So he says to him, he says, what do you mean? What's the question? He says, Chunk is really the most special thing. Like, so he says, well, from the story that you were saying the Chashivas of Torah. How chashuv Torah is. So in my house, so my father, he makes us all say a Dvar Torah, but as soon as the chalom comes out, he's deep into the chalom, and he's not even paying attention. Doesn't even look like he's paying attention to what we're saying. So you're right, I'm sure that Torah is chashuv, but Kinyira chalom is more chashuv than Torah. This is the chalom. He asked the father, is chalom more chashuv than Torah? What are you thinking? What are you... Of course it's not. And he knows it's not. And I'm sure he's listening. But what's the message that the kid got? How did he portray it? He told the parents about it. And the father, he was Mamash Chazer. And he said that he undid it totally. It was tremendous. And like, as soon as they would start the Dvar Torah, he'd take the chalons and like make a big message, putting it on the side. That's it. Everybody stop eating. We're listening. Somebody's saying Dvar Torah. That's how it should be. That's the message how it should be. It's all the things that we know to be priorities to make sure that they remain priorities. And it's understood that that's a priority. It shouldn't be, and the more that we realize that it is a priority, the more we'll make sure that it's shown as a priority. And just this is, I think, a nekuda to bear in mind as the summer sets in and people are off a little bit. For those that are off, it shouldn't be our priority should remain priorities. And the same way that Torah is the most hush of a thing during the zman, it's also ben zmanim, and it doesn't mean that in a chanami you're going to be learning first seder, second seder, ninth seder. If you could, matzev manayim, halavai that you should. That's what really goes on. Like I once heard from the Rishiva Shlito, says, unfortunately, many times during Ben Azmanim, there's not as much of a shmirah as there is during the Ben Azman. It's really this week's parasha, Elef Lamate, Elef Lamate. Pasha Pshah on the Pasuk is Elef Lamate, Elef Lamate, when they went to go fight against Midian, was every Shevet had 1,000 people that went to go fight. Chazal say in the Medrash, Elef Lamata means that they had 1,000 people going to fight and 1,000 people davening for them. That they Zelu Maza, you need the Shmiro. And in a Chanami it looks like you have 10,000 people, 12,000 people that are fighting, but you have the 12,000 people that are davening there. And that's our job. Our job is the Shmiro, retaining the Shmiro of even at a Zman, which is Abena Zmanim, but to need that Shmiro, I don't know if it's true. What I heard was that when they went to go bomb the reactor, in the atomic reactor in Iraq. They came to ask the Baba Sali beforehand for a bracha. He says, what time are they planning on doing it? He says, they're planning on going at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. He says, wait till 4. So why wait till 4? Because 2 o'clock is Menas Darim, and 4 o'clock is already the second Seder. And they were tremendously successful. It was there's other things behind it, Mitzada Ruchnius, but then Nakuda of to realize that priorities have to remain priorities, and the day should not start without Terev Atvila, and Chas V'Chalila, that a day shouldn't go by without Terev, and it shouldn't be come to Matzev. If this is I'm not Chas V'Chalila to say that, you know, one pasuk of Yivrech Hashem Yishmerecho is not a kim of Terev, but it shouldn't come to that. That's the limit of Terev for the day. The day starts with limited Torah. That's to show the chashivas. Everybody should know the chashivas for yourself. That's really what's chashiv, and that's what. Are there going to be situations possibly that you can't start the day like that? Seder. Be'etzem, how a person should be koveya. It's not just menas manim. It's his life. How he's koveya, and to remember that what he's doing is all for the sake of avodas Hashem and inech hanami. Sometimes he's not in the base manager, and sometimes it's. He's on vacation, v'chulu. But at the end of the day, it's all for the Ribbono Shel Olam, and to remember the priorities, and things that maybe you wouldn't eat. But now it's Ben Azmanim, so maybe we'll eat them. Places that we wouldn't go, but now it's Ben Azmanim, we could go. Things not to remember to keep the ikur, as Moshe Rabbeinu told them, Asuha ikur, va'tofel, tofel.